Oh, shit. The church or what's happening now, Sunday, October 27th. Lee, shine on, Crazy Diamond. Play that motherfucker for these beautiful people. Oh, shit. We're all a bunch of diamonds in the rough, motherfucker. It's the Lord's Day. Lee Leland, a.k.a. the Flying Jew, Joey Coco Diaz. The church of what's happening now, little Pink Floyd, to get your Sunday off started right. I hope you had a great weekend. Lee, what's happening, you bad motherfucker, you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just a rough night last night, but I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
You worked like 2 10-hour shifts, didn't you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, man, and this guy I worked with posted a picture, and he's like 80 years old, and he posted a picture on Facebook last night. He said him and his wife are the only 2 people out of 10 people still left in the picture. And that, like, it fucking blew my mind. I'm like, shit, when I'm 80 years old, do I want to, like, be here, like, think back to my Saturday nights and I've been working? And I'm like, I don't know if it's worth it, but I'm doing it right now, and it's all right.
You're 24 fucking years old, Lee. What are you worried about when you're 84?
The picture
blew
my mind.
What happens if you leave here today, go for Burger King, get the croissant, and it blows your asshole out? And then all the, you know what I'm saying? Live your fucking life. I think that you think you're missing something. You're not missing anything, Lee. You're 24 years old. What do you want to be doing? You want to be at the clubs dancing, chick sucking your dick? You can't even have a black chick fart in your face without having a heart attack. If a chick puts that monkey in your face, you're going to die. You're a good fucking kid. You're a good kid. You got no drug problems. You don't drink. You mind your business.
I know. It's just like seeing that picture and then thinking, like, oh, shit, I'm at work on a Saturday night until 4 in the morning. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, what are your options? You know, listen, let me tell you something. When I was a kid, I had to get a job, and I would work Fridays. I would load trucks on Fridays and Saturdays. But after a while, I knew that I would party during the week. It was no big fucking deal. I was still going to do you. You're not missing nothing, Lee. You got a nice job, you know? How many people in this country don't have fucking jobs today?
Yeah, that's why I don't quit.
You got
quit.
Your head together. You have no substance abuse problems. You know what I'm saying? You got to go to the gym like me, and that's it. But beside that, you're a good fucking kid. You're not missing them. What do you, I mean, it seems like you want to go out there and be hanging out with people. And
I do.
What's going on with this broad? You send this broad the picture of your dick yet? That's what you got to do. You got to work on these chicks. You got to practice on these fucking freaks, you know?
I've actually, because you, when we went to the Ice House the other night for Testicle Testaments, and you and Jordan were giving me shit, and I wasn't really raised religious. I mean, a little bit, but nothing really that crazy. And it just makes me so uncomfortable to, like, be that, like, straightforward with, like, I've always been nervous around girls, but, like, the thing, like, tell them you're gonna, like, light their asshole on fire, like, I get, like, hard, like, I feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Listen, what do you want? Look, let me explain something to you. I'm gonna tell you something, and I'm gonna tell the people at home something that I've known for a long time, and I just never like to talk about it. When I'm on stage, I talk about sex sometimes. But I tell you why I talk about sex sometimes. Not that I'm a dumb fuck, which I am really a dumb fuck. The problem why I talk about sex is because I hate it. Since I was a kid, I've always hated sex. You know, I'm good at basketball. I'm good at talking shit on the corner. I'm not good at it. I was always very... I can't even go for a massage. Do you know that? Like, I went with my wife 3 months ago. She said her stomach hurts, so I took her for a massage over here. Uh-huh. They don't give you a hand job or nothing. But still, just the thought of people touching me and shit like that drives me crazy. You know, when you're a kid, you always want to have sex. The sexual experiences I had as a kid fucked me for life. You know, I was thinking... it's Halloween week, and I always hate Halloween. Not because I hate Halloween. I never got dressed up for Halloween after I was 15. But one of the reasons why I hate this weekend, it's this weekend and next weekend I really don't like it, is because it was one of the last weekends I had with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember staying out with Joe Focaccia and Steve Avillo and all those guys and getting home, and she smacked me because I came home at 5 in the morning. And later on she told me she wanted me to be a man or whatever. And I always think about that. I forget my train of thought. I'm fucking stoned. But anyway, it's just so weird that last night I was driving home and I'm seeing all these fucking zombies and shit. And I'm like, you know what, man? I haven't dressed up in years. What the fuck is wrong with me? You know, but I'm too uptight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that I was thinking about my mom died, this girl called me up with sympathy pussy that I had not had sex with before, like sucked the titties. I was like 16, 15. And she called me up and she's like, I'm sorry about your mom and stuff. Do you want me to come over? And she fucking, we were both kids. So I had to walk to her house, get it, and walk her back to my house. Now, for like 10 days after my mother died, I stayed in my house by myself with an aunt that I had, Zoraida, from New York City. And I remember her, Zoraida would get fucked up at night and she was passed out. So that night, this girl, Helene, came over, was her name. And I had, like I said, I had fooled around with her, like sucked her tits and shit like that. And that night she took her pants. I remember we were swapping spit, and then she fell on the bed, and I was taking her pants off. Mm-hmm. And as I was taking her pants off, she had her fucking period. It was that time of the month. But she didn't have a tampon, and she had a Kotex, and it popped open like a fucking tongue from a like a tongue. And I'll never forget, I was mummified. I was fucking mummified. I just looked at the pussy, looked at the whatever it is, not the tampon, but the Kotex. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it just fucking shelled me. And I remember telling her, like, I can't do this. Like, I'm too depressed. My mother, and walking her home, wanting to kill her. And walking home, and I never really seen her again. She's on Facebook now, obviously, like all the freaks are. But those little stories, I tell you, fucking traumatized me. My friends took me to the 1040 Club. It's a joke I brought on stage. That really fucked with me because I was too young. I was too prepared. I wasn't prepared. I thought I wanted to do it. We all think we can handle fucking everything when we're kids, but we really can't. But it stayed with me. Yeah. So it's funny. I don't put a lot of weight on sex. I have friends that will look me in the face and go, "Dude, I got to go out tonight and get sex." So because of all that shit, that I don't really like sex, I've always attacked it as it's not worth the drama. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it's not worth the fucking drama. Like, I got to take you out to dinner, listen to your bullshit, you know, pay for dinner, pay for this, take you to a movie, and then maybe we'll get lucky. And the first three times is the most awkward you're ever going to be in your fucking life.
Yeah.
Like, the first time you take a woman's clothes off, to me, is the most awkward you are. And yeah, I talk shit, but I've realized the reason why I did all that stupid shit I did, like getting my dick sucked in closets at comedy clubs and shit, is because I really don't like the contact. Mm-hmm. I really don't like the contact too much, you know what I'm saying? And don't get me wrong, I get horned up like everybody else, and I bang one out, or you don't bang one out, but that's what it is. Sometimes, like, I'm horned up, and I'll go to a bar and pick up a chick or go to a strip club. Me banging one out for 3 minutes takes care of all that. Like, it's not worth the wait. So by me not putting that much weight on sex, you know, I had a friend, Glenn Conte, who his brother's going to call here in a couple weeks. Glenn was a very good-looking guy. He was Navajo, Indian, and an Italian.
Oh, sure.
So think of it, a dark Italian with blue fucking eyes. The guy would sling dick. But it wasn't as much as he was good-looking as what he would say to women. He would throw them for a fucking loop. In 1982, I hung out with Glenn every night. And I'll tell you what, every time we went out, he would either get his dick sucked at the bar or fuck the chick or fuck her in a car or have a story. And I couldn't figure out, oh, because he's good looking. No, because he had no fear. There was no net for him. He'd go up to a woman and go, "Excuse me, you're looking beautiful. I want to suck your pussy tonight." And either they'd smack him or they'd walk away from him or sit there and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I asked him why he did that. And he goes, "You know what? It just gets me closer to them." I'm like, "Gets you closer to them." But then years later, I worked for a very smart Jew, Kurt, and he told me that in his pitch. I used to tell a market for him that the first fucking paragraph of his pitch was to get people to hang up the phone. Like, he wanted to blow them out of the water. So I started figuring out what my friend Glenn was doing. He was just blowing chicks' head out of the water. So either it's like I'd say to you, it's either blue cheese with wings or go fuck your mother. If you don't have blue cheese, then we have nothing to talk about. There was nothing for us to talk about. What are we sitting here? Same thing with whatever. We don't. It's like when I had my ball sack up at the fucking avatar on Twitter and people get mad at me. That's what I wanted. I wanted people to go, "I don't want to follow a guy with his ball." And then like that, we end this right now. We don't have to. I don't have to get offended if I watch, you know, wash your cock and sniff your balls. It's Friday. I don't need somebody to get fucking offended. You follow me? I'm too old to offend people. If you don't like it, go fuck your mother. I don't give a fuck. Go listen to somebody else. That's fine. That's what life is about, is variety. That's why we live in America. We have choices on what to listen to. But back to that. Anyway, now you got this chick. And what are you going to do? You're going to sit there and talk to them about what? You didn't talk to them about her grandmother and make believe like you give a fuck. Because that's what we do as guys. We make believe we give a fuck. You and I both know what the square root of this is. It's that little dirty fucking pussy that you got between your legs. And I hate putting it like this if ladies are listening to it, but this helps you because now you know where the fuck you stand. You know, in this life, I want to know where the fuck I stand. So that's the whole thing. So you go up to a girl, Lee. You're like me, Lee. We're not fucking, we're not Brad Pitts. So we're working on personality, we're working on energy, and we're working on dick slinging.
Yeah.
And dick slinging is how you walk up to this bitch. You ever see an ugly fucking dude with a hot bitch?
Yeah.
Is it because he's got $3 million? No, he probably eats a pussy, and he's probably confident. She was looking for a confident man.
That's my thing. It's confidence. I've never had a problem. Like, when I have sex, the sex isn't the problem for me. I've been fine with it, and I've never. That's not my issue. I've always been terrified of just the talking thing. Terrifies me.
Well, terrifies me. So that's why I say to you, what the fuck? Just get to the heart of the fucking noodle. You know, when you eat that pussy, you got to tear through skin to get to the faux patois. The clit somewhere in there. Same thing in a relationship.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, the clit somewhere in there. Oh, no, go higher. Finger it up. I don't need this aggravation. I got to get gloves and fucking goggles and shit.
Yeah.
The point being that if you don't like it like me, just fucking drop it. Listen, man, I've been sitting here for an hour. You're a beautiful woman. Why don't we cut this shit? You shaved your pussy tonight. You deodorized those titties. Let's take you home and let's do what you came out to do. Let's do it. But we're going to lie to each other and put through this shit. I like music. I like this. I like Pink Floyd. No, you don't. No, you don't. Then a year from now, you got to tell her the truth that you hate fucking Pink Floyd. Now you got no fucking relationship.
Yeah.
No relationship at all. Listen, I've been with this woman I'm with for 14 years. She's 7 months pregnant. You want me to tell you why it lasted? Because it's never been bullshit since day one.
Yeah.
There's never been bullshit. Those are the best. Like the first 10 days, I explained who I was, what I hated, what I didn't like. And I thought that's why I'm with this girl. Because I didn't know. Like any other guy in the beginning, oh, you like Pink? I like Pink. No, you don't like fucking Pink. You hate Pink with a little fucking devil head, dude. You hate fucking Pink. Now, oh, I love, you know, whatever. It's going to bite you in the ass somewhere along the line. That's why when comics date hot comic chicks, 9 out of 10, the hot comic chick isn't that fucking funny. But they date them anyway with the thing that they are funny.
Yeah.
That they lie to them. Now they're stuck with this woman for fucking 15 years. Of not being funny. What are you going to do? You're going to tell at the 11th year you were never funny? I just wanted my dick sucked. That's why be honest with everybody from the beginning. If you be honest from the beginning, you got no fucking worries, man. I could say whatever the fuck I want in front of my wife because she knows from day one I've been honest. I'm not here to bullshit nobody. You know, it's the reason why I do this podcast. The main thing about this podcast is called The Church of What's Happening Now, motherfucker. But I have a lot of friends on here from the old days. You know why I have these friends on? For credibility. You know why? Because it haunts me, credibility. Because I know 15 motherfuckers that are on TV shows, another 50 that have podcasts, another 50 comedians that people think are great people, and they're fucking scumbags. They got you confused.
Yeah.
When I talk dirty up front, when I say this shit, it's because I want you to know where the fuck you stand. If you don't like me, go listen to somebody fake. You're probably a fucking fake yourself. That's why you enjoy that shit.
Yeah.
That's why you enjoy that shit, because you're probably a fucking fake yourself. You know, I see these people on TV and I'm like, oh, they're fucking, you know, I hear people in interviews that did nothing and they talk about like they played football for 15 years or they did something for 20 years. They did it for 2 fucking years. I've never told people I was a gangster or a mobster. I told people I made fucking mistakes. Am I proud of them? Fuck no. Would I do them again? Hell yeah. That's how you fucking learn. That's how you have a good day. These stories that I tell people didn't fucking just get fascinated. They are fabricated. I'm sorry. Sometimes my fucking English ain't that good. It's time to hit the vapor pen, Lee. That's what the fuck the problem is. Lee, you didn't get high this morning, cocksucker. I'm watching you. 2, 3, 4, 5. Let me tell you something. This thing has been saving me lately.
Really?
The King fucking Louis. And I'll tell you how popular they're getting. They're out at NO Organic. No more organic. They're out. I went in there last night to get another tube. They're out. I got to wait till I see the kid next weekend. In Ontario at the Improv, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Don't forget about me, cocksuckers. If you're close by, San Diego, whatever, come on up. We're going to have great weeks. Thursday, I got Corey and Chad featuring and George Perez. Friday and Saturday, I got Felicia Michaels.
Oh, shit.
And Sunday, I got Edwin San fucking Juan.
Oh, great.
Felicia's freezing her ass off right now in Alaska. You know how that goes. But that's why I do this shit, you know. And eventually I'm going to have different guests on. Like this week I'm going to have a guest, Jim Handy, on, who really taught me how to become a comic. He taught me about goals. Like when people go, you know, by the end of the year I want to have $10 million. That's great. But how are you going to achieve these fucking goals? I got to go to work every day. I got to invest. I got to have my shoes shined. I can't fuck. You know what I'm saying? That's what he'd make you do. I worked with Jim Handy when I was a car salesman at Toyota.
Yeah.
And I had learned how to sell cars from this guy, Artie Pressler. But Jim Handy really taught me life because what he taught me applied for the rest of my life and everything. When I come to you and I go, I got to have 10 minutes in 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just write that in my notebook. I got to have 10 new minutes. I write down A, I got to perform every night. B, I got to write jokes every fucking day and I got to put them together. What things are going to get you there? And I do this. I do monthly goals, weekly goals, and I do fucking yearly goals and quarterly goals. Why not? We pay taxes quarterly. You might as well do your shit quarterly. So I'm going to have him call in. But after a while, I'm going to have like Josh Wolf and friends of mine that come in from today call in the morning. The problem is all these motherfuckers live in L.A. They don't wake up at 6:30.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a sole fucking survivor here. So I got to get up. And this is why. Because I want to have credibility. Nothing hurt me more last year when you and I shot where I got my balls from. And we went to Twitter and we got $3,100. After fucking 3 weeks, people are like, where's the fucking documentary? I mean, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Are you a fucking idiot? And then every month I'd have six guys. Like, where's the documentary guy? You know, we have to edit it, put music. You know, it took a lot of fucking work.
Yeah.
And listen, we shot it in September. We released it when? February, March?
Yeah.
That's fucking 7 months for two guys. Two guys. We hired two other guys to do the sound and some other shit editing. Great guys, by the way.
Yeah, the
guy
and the graphics, yeah.
And the graphics. But I got to call the graphic guy. He's a fucking great guy. Yeah, he adopted the dog.
Oh,
We were there and stuff. And we had it out in 7 months. Nothing. What did I say to you, bro? How many times did I say to you, we got to get it done because I don't want to let people down?
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, it was $3,100. People sent us $5 bills, $3 bills, $50. Felipe Esparza gave us $5. It doesn't matter. I always wanted credibility in your guys' eyes. That's very important to a guy like me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want somebody to be beat around me or nothing. That's the, you know, I thrive on that shit. I don't want these people. So that's why I have these guys call up from time to time. They're crazy. You've heard Mike Runny and Filato and fucking. This is where I came from. This is why I try to tell you people. This ain't fabricated. This ain't, you know, I always hear these things. I'm from Jersey, but bad boy of Jersey. I don't say nothing about Jersey. I'm mad motherfucking flavor bitches.
And speaking of phone calls, who do we have calling today?
Danny Bianculo, because we got the pick of the fucking week. What time is it anyway? Yeah, we're gonna do some gambling today. We're gonna make you some money. Last week I had USC giving 41 to Colorado.
Yeah, you told me about that.
And then I loved Texas on Sunday, but I didn't do nothing against Baltimore. He should be calling any minute. You know, Danny owns that company, Vegas, whatever. He's gonna give us the webpage today. He's going into business with the referee when he gets off probation.
That's
one more
fucking
week.
Crazy.
So if you guys are looking for fucking picks, take this guy's information down. I know for a fact he's fucking good. He was telling me today that he pays attention to these couple guys, you know, and that bet big, and he sees where the money's at. I mean, Danny's always been a smart guy, and I'm lucky. We're going to have him on all the gambling shows. He's going to be our gambling expert. Today, as far as me, who's your team playing today, cocksucker?
Who, the Patriots? We're playing in London against St. Louis, which...
In London?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. If they can't cover here, they ain't going to cover London, fucking New England.
We're -7 right now,
I see that. The Jets are playing Miami. The Jets are playing Miami. They're giving one at home. I don't like the Jets.
No.
You got the Giants against the Dallas Cowboys. My pick for you, if you want to make a little cash today, look at the vapor. Oh, shit. King Louis like a motherfucker. It pays to smoke the best. My pick today is Philadelphia Eagles against the Atlanta, whatever the fuck you call
Falcons.
Them, Falcons. They're giving points. They're getting points. I think they're 2 points. I don't give a fuck. I'm going with the under on this game.
It's 43.
It's 43, and I think it's going down. It was up at 44. It's going under this game. So that's my pick for the week. I love the fucking under. Why? Because the bookies raped you motherfuckers last week. And they're about to rape you in the ass again. Don't believe the hype.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight you got a great game. You got Denver against New Orleans Saints on the game of the week. But the over and under, you know what it is, Lee?
55
fucking points.
That's
how
great.
Many touchdowns is that, Lee? Quick. That's eight? Seven.
No, that's eight.
Eight times seven is what? 56.
Okay, so yeah.
Seven times seven is 49. You gotta get seven touchdowns.
A couple field
and
goals.
Three fucking field goals. You follow me? So you need eight touchdowns to get the over on that.
No, I'm looking at it right now, and Green Bay is playing Jacksonville, and they're giving Jacksonville 16.5. Now Jacksonville sucks. They're starting quarterback.
Where are they playing?
At Green Bay.
Okay, so they're giving 16 points at home. It's cold out. Hurricane Sandy's coming. Well, it's coming to the other fucking thing, but it's affecting everything.
It's coming anyway.
It's coming anyway. It's even going to affect here. You've seen this week what happened here. We got rain a couple days.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Don't worry about that. 16.5 points. If the line goes up, if you live in Green Bay, that line is 17, or there's no line on that fucking game.
Okay.
Because where you live, the points go high.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What do you want to do here? What?
That one, just because their quarterback went out, their star running back is out, or the quarterback might be in, but he's hurt. And that's the one, like the USC one where you did, where I might bet Green Bay just because Jacksonville's garbage.
Well, whatever you think, though.
Who knows? Let's see what happens tomorrow.
All I like is the fucking under, right? Don't bother me with Jacksonville and Green Bay. What are you bothering me for with this shit? What are you torturing me for with this shit? Lee, motherfucking Leland had a great weekend, Lee.
What did he do?
I smoked vapors? No. I went to the Laugh Factory. The Laugh Factory gave me a bunch of spots this week.
Oh, nice. You're not there that often.
You know what? I used to do the Laugh Factory once a week in the fucking early 2000s on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jamie's always, he always said it was more of a club act. And then about 3 months ago, he called me one day and he said, if you want to start doing spots. So they started sending me emails, and I went to Long Beach and I went to Hollywood. You know, I didn't do too well last week in Minneapolis. It bothered me. It bothered me because I had been there 6 weeks before in my writing. So it's really funny. You know, some people get beat up by a manager. I beat myself up. Nobody beats me up like me.
Yeah.
So this week I went back to basics. I met with Tony Hinchcliffe.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to start writing together. I want to put that special together in September, so I'm going to go into a special training camp. I got a couple headlining dates. I'm home for 2 months, you know, December and January. I got a great book today, this week. I got Stephen King on writing. He recommended it. Somebody else had recommended it. I read he has two forewords in here. Mm-hmm. So I read the first foreword last night. It blew my fucking mind. And but the book I really got caught up on was American Desperado. I don't know if you guys listened to Mike Roebuck called where I lived in Aspen. There was a guy that got blown up in a fucking Jeep by a pipe bomb. His name was Steve Grable, and I talked about it. And a bunch of people told me to read this book. It's American Desperado. The guy's name is John Roberts. His real name is like John Riccobini or something. He's from fucking Teaneck, New Jersey, home of the fucking Antonoris. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of people don't know I know about the Antonoris. They think I forgot, but I didn't. But I've been reading that book. I've read about three chapters. It's got me, Lee. It's a heavy-duty book.
I have to start reading it again. I haven't read since college just because it put such a bad taste in my mouth. Like, when you have to read.
Listen, reading a book and sucking a dick is two different things. How you got a bad taste in your mouth? That's up to you. Maybe you should go see the Scientologist to help you, or your fucking dentist. What don't you like about reading? It's fundamental.
I liked it when I was younger, but going through school when you're forced to read, I don't know. It killed the fun for me. And fucking, there's just so many great movies and TV. When I have 20 minutes, book. I'd rather watch
TV. You gotta read the book. You gotta read. Reading is knowledge. Knowledge is power. I love to read because it takes me away. A movie's great. Don't get me wrong. I love it. One of the best books you'll read is Silence of the Fucking Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the best books you'll read. I mean, there's 2,000 million great books out there. I like to read because I like to see the styles of the different writers. And it's just a different patois of entertainment. You know, we're forgetting about this shit. You know, I just read that Newsweek is laying off people.
Yeah.
In a year, we're not going to have magazines or newspapers. And yeah, we have Kindles and you have audio, whatever, books. And I like all that stuff. I like listening to books. But fucking, there's nothing like reading, man.
Yeah.
Nothing like really reading something and getting involved in it. I don't need the glass of wine and the pipe to make believe like I don't need none of that shit. All I need is silence, a good fucking joint. I smoke it and I need my focus. You know, I'll put a big book away in 3 or 4 days.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, because I like him in chunks. I'll read a fucking book. I can't wait to read the Stephen King book.
Do you do it on the road a lot?
You know, man, when there was more Wells Fargo's, when there was more Barnes & Noble's on the road, you know, I would go to a hotel and I'd ask where the Barnes & Noble, and I don't give a fuck if the book is expensive, you know. I understand that guy put effort into writing that. Yeah, some of it goes to the publisher or whatever, but I know. I've been trying to write a book for fucking 8 months. I'm up to page 8. You know, it's fucking tough to write a book. So when somebody does something like that, I want to support whatever the hell they're doing. It's just you're supporting somebody else.
Yeah.
And I don't like reading used fucking books. It drives me crazy, though. My wife goes to the library. Sometimes I have her pick me up a book in the library downtown. Or there's a great library down the corner that I walk to. Sometimes I just go in there and write jokes. But it's boring. You can't eat there. You can't do nothing. There's homeless people. I'm trying to read a book about philosophy, and there's a guy smelling like dog shit next to me. And
I can't see you in a library.
Oh, it fucking drives me crazy. But, you know, you look at the schedule. They have free movies there on Wednesdays. They show, like, old westerns and stuff. And sometimes, you know what, you go down there. I like to do different things like that. Shit that I can do by myself and just go down there and analyze the situation. But I love going to the library, man. All that stuff just fucking kills me. And books, they're great. I could have spent the whole day at Barnes & Noble yesterday.
Really?
Oh, fuck yeah. I went over to get some clothes at the Fat Man store in Glendale yesterday. I had dick up there. This is what sucks about being fat. It's not your health or your heart or your capillaries or that your toes hurt or that your feet hurt or that when you take a shit you break the toilet. It's got nothing to do with Fat Man Alert. Fat Man Alert. It's got nothing to do with that. The hardest thing for being a fucking 2X guy is to find shirts. I went up and they had jackets that cost $50. They wanted $330 for it. I don't mind if it's a great jacket, but they're garbage.
Yeah.
I couldn't find. You know this shirt here? You know why I like this shirt? I bought this at a fucking Walmart in Tennessee 3 years ago, and it's still solid as a rock of fucking Gibraltar.
Yeah.
You know, I like all this shit. I don't mind paying money for great clothes. You know what I ended up buying?
Nothing.
Suspenders. Fucking suspenders to wear my suit and shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I went there yesterday. And this is like the third time. So now, you know where the Fat Man stores are, Lee, around here?
Where?
There ain't none. Yeah. You got that one in Glendale, and then I got to get in the car and go all the way to like Tarzana to a Fat Man store. You know what happened? I did this commercial for Comcast, and I got this big check like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I went to Weight Watchers. But I went up there. I swear to God, Lee, I must have dropped 3-4 grand in clothes. And I went to Weight Watchers and dropped 100 pounds. I had to give away all that fucking clothes. I got a warm-up suit in there that's beautiful. I had to give it away. 4X.
Yeah.
I had to give away all that shit. People don't know how hard it is to get clothes for the fucking Fat Man. It
that,
kills me.
That was the thing that really kicked me into gear to start losing weight. A couple when I went to graduate college, is I went to stores and they didn't have my size anymore, and I was like, shit, I gotta lose weight. So I went and I spent $200 on stuff to wear to my graduation, and then I wore it there and I lost 50 pounds and it doesn't fit anymore, but it's nice to have in my closet, just because like I hadn't realized it because I was working and it never really clicked.
Lee, you gotta smoke some dope, Lee. What are you talking about? The suit that don't fit?
No, I'm saying the Fat Man store.
No, you're saying about the suit. I don't get what happened. You bought the suit.
At the Fat Man store.
Right. And then you lost the weight.
And then I lost it. And it doesn't fit.
And where's the suit now?
In my closet.
At home?
Yeah.
In Sherman Oaks?
Yeah.
It fits now, though.
No.
It don't fit no more. No. What the fuck did you bring it for?
I bought it when I graduated college. I was saying that's going to that store was what told me I had to lose weight. And I'm still not there yet, but I'm just saying.
Lee,
that's...
Do I have to stab you in the neck today? What the fuck are you talking about? Going to the store?
You're smoking too much of the.
No, you're over here talking about the store and losing weight. I'm talking about the Fat Man fucking store.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But you bought the suit here?
No, in Boston when I graduated college.
So why the fuck did you bring it out with you if it don't fit, Lee? That's my question.
I don't know.
For fucking inspiration?
Because my mom moved and I brought everything I owned.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Your motherfucker.
Fucking no, cocksucker. So now I got to go up to Tarzana. I got to go all the way up. See, when I used to go to Texas, if you're a fat fuck, you go to Texas and bang. Your clothes are set. It's everywhere. You know, Texas is Houston is number one state in the country for fat people. Oh, shit. What's up, Danny B?
What's going on, my friend out there?
How are you in beautiful California? Where are you at, brother?
I'm outside building a raft. You know, we're waiting for this fucking storm, so I'm trying to get the games in and trying to talk to my clients and build a raft at the same time, and I'm burping on my breakfast. So it's a good day besides that, though, Joey. How are you?
You know me. Up here in California, the sun's out. I got the Flying Jew over here breaking my balls about the Fat Man store.
You and my cousin, you and James, you, Greg, James, all living out there while I'm here floating away.
Let me tell you, I'm going to see the boys next weekend. I'm going to see Greg and hopefully J-Mo and Greg's children because I got a show out in Ontario. So I'll see those motherfuckers next week.
You know what? They were up here for my birthday. Greg, you know, had a blast with him. He's a funny motherfucker still. What did we call him when we were little? The Sailor? Didn't you do that little Popeye dance or
his? The Sailor something. The brother was J-Mo Bombitas. And
he was a freak. You know what? He's kind of dry right now. He's kind of boring. You know, the last few years, he's not himself. I don't know. I liked him when he was younger and sold weed. He was funnier.
Remember when you were telling
me... I call him the coach. The coach. Everything's with a coach. He walks around with stirrups all day.
You were telling me the story about like 20, 30 years ago, and I spoke to Greg about it. When you were home and you lived at that block on 70s, down the block from... Fifth Street Deli, and you woke up like 11 in the morning, you were walking down the stairs, and you saw Greg on the bottom of your stairs, and you're like, oh, Jesus. You go, Greg, what is it going to take to get rid of you? A quarter gram? Remember? He used to just show up.
No, Joe, you know, it's so true. Greg was funny back then. We were all a mess, though. But yeah, I do remember that. Those big stairs. Jimmy big Bender, the fireman, owned that building.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
But he wasn't the only one. I used to got guys throwing pebbles at my window. It's 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. You just hear, psst, psst. You know, and my mother coming downstairs. There fucking guys are here again. What are you? And then my mother would be giving him bags of coke. It was fucking hysterical, but sad at the same time. Those were many years ago, but Durham Avenue, too, behind the high school.
Right behind the high school there. Hey, let me ask you this something. So you've been on fire lately. We talked last week. You had a great week last week. What do you got going on for these people today?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it's a tough board. The weather's definitely going to factor in, but I did okay yesterday. I'll tell you what. Let's start with yesterday. I had Ohio State and Georgia, Then I lost the Notre Dame over, you know, and that could have hit if the guy didn't get the pass in the can. Today I got a small play that I'm, you know, it's a little late for guys if they can. Get a something small on the Jets today at home, you know. Nothing crazy, though. Nothing crazy. A lot of people are betting Miami. I disagree. Something small on the Jets, but, you know, with the weather the way it is, I'm backing off today. But tomorrow, I'll tell you what, that San Francisco-Arizona game, that's the one that I really like. So if anybody out there, Joe, that listens to your show, that likes to play the games, I love tomorrow. You call me the Monday Night Gorilla. I'm knocking them dead on Monday nights. Call me what you want, but make sure they call or they can visit us, as you know, at DannyBWins.com, Cole. Yeah, tomorrow night's game, I love it. I love the side. I love the total. Today, I'm just, the weather, it definitely scares me. The winds are kicking in already. The lines are, you know, and so I'm going to go small on the Jets, Coco. How about yourself?
I like the under on the Philadelphia-Atlanta game. It's 43 or 40-something. I like the under on it.
Yeah, let me check that.
In Philadelphia, I know that the weather's going to be a factor there also.
Yeah, that's like I said, I'm building a fucking raft. I'm about 45 minutes away from the stadium. The total dropped from 47 all the way down to 43. I'm looking at a screen here because I can see shit you guys can't see. Yeah, it's a tough day on the East Coast, you know? You kind of want to focus on the maybe the West Coast. The Giant-Dallas game, I don't know about that, so I'm backing off of that. And, you know, maybe you root for maybe the Charger game tonight. I'm sorry, not the Charger game. The Denver game tonight.
Well, the Denver game, I was telling Lee, that's going to be on. That's 50. Lee, you remember, Lee, Danny, you remember when we were kids? Fucking, who played on a Monday night? The Chargers and somebody else. And the score was like 54 to like 48 on a Monday night game. I know it was the Chargers and like Oakland. Two offensive fucking machines, but 55 points.
Was that at Corky's? Did we watch that at fucking Corky's?
We watched that at Corky's on a Monday night or a Sunday before Hashway's burnt down, before Gary, the brother, burnt it down with the crack pipe.
Was it Gary, though, with the crack pipe?
Yeah, he was in the basement, and he was smoking crack, and he got paranoid. And when he went to listen for the noise, the pipe fell down. The blowtorch fell down, and it caught the fucking basement on fire. That's the word on the street.
You know what? Listen, I was never onto the pipe. That was not my gig, but they used to call me bazookas. Remember how you used to take the freebase and you cook it and put it in the weed and burn it down in the oils?
Oh, I love that shit.
I got sidetracked for a couple of years on that, you know.
I got sidetracked for 6 months
Danny
on
bazooka.
That.
That was such a fucking, that was an intense high, and it was the worst point of my life, but Jesus. Those were the days, though. We're talking 84, 85.
I remember that one time. I ran out of rolling papers, and I was getting the bazooka paste and putting it in a bong over the weed. Whoa. And my wife had given me, not this wife, when I was a kid, that wife gave me a bong for Christmas. The next morning, the bong was fucking melted. It had crumbled like one of the World Trade Center towers. It just fucking, okay, you think I'm kidding you, dog? It just went out from the bottom, and it just got, it was like a 2-foot bong, and it went down to like 8 inches. It just crumbled like one of the fucking Arabs knocked it over with a fucking plane. That's how many bazookas I was smoking, Danny. We were fucked up on those things.
I'm shitting in my pants thinking about it. Remember when you used to anticipate the bag of coke or whatever coming? Just start shitting.
Oh, my God.
Anticipating the high.
When I quit doing coke, I didn't shit for 3 weeks, dog. I had to fucking snort fucking toe jam to get this. That's amazing. Somebody was just telling me last night.
Listen, you weren't as bad as some of the characters, though. You remember fucking, what's his mug, Ronnie Martinelli? You'd be coming across the bridge. You just see him carrying a fucking TV on his way to the Bronx.
Oh, it was fucking
just fucking
tremendous.
2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. And that was Ciccarelli's. They were a mess, too. I mean, a lot of people, you weren't that bad. I mean, yeah, you peeked out a window or two, but who hasn't? My brother saw dinosaurs.
Gary,
how messed up he was?
Yeah.
You know Gary, my brother.
Yeah.
You know what? Anyway, he's about ready to come out of jail after like 20-something years. You know, like I said, they're messing with him, though. Well, they broke out of the prison. But 1989, I'm playing cards with, I don't know, Zemanek, I think Joey Filato. Gary goes off on a little mission to drop off an 8-ball, Coco. And then we're realizing 2 hours go by, where's Gary? You know, I start paging the shit out of him. And then finally he calls me back. I'm like, God, where the fuck are you? He's on 78. He's like, there's a dinosaur chasing me. I'm just like, what? And he says, there's a dinosaur chasing me. I'm like, Like, man, guys, there's a dinosaur chasing Gary. Somebody give me a ride to where are you? So he's on 78th and Bergerline Avenue. So I'm looking for him, and all I see, Coco, there's a phone booth, the old-style phone booths that were the booths. All I see is a little head peeking up and down, up and down. You just see it. It looks like a little jack-in-the-box. And I just tap on the window real quick and scare the shit out of him. Anyways, he jumps up. And I go, what the fuck's wrong with you? He goes, I said, where's this dinosaur? He points across the street. And at the Kodak, the film place, they were promoting the Jurassic Park thing. They had the big blow-up dinosaur. And the thing was just going back and forth. And that's how fucked up he was.
Do you remember? I wanted to ask you to let these people know about a story. Because I was talking about paranoia. I used to get paranoid. Mike Runny called. And he said that one day he gave me a hit off the freebase and I got really paranoid. Do you remember when Kurt DiLorenzo lived on the 34th floor of the grinder, the building, and he would put little parachutes on his cocaine?
The grease.
He would grease his poles.
You know, because I got an apartment right there in Weehawken, and so every time I passed that place, you also know that across the street, Hudson County Park, is where the most UFO sightings were ever reported. It's because everybody was fucking paranoid in that building, the human grinder. Yeah, he used to put fucking Crisco oil on the 30th. And I asked him, I almost broke my neck. I'm like, whoa. And I go, crap, what the fuck? He goes, in case they start climbing down at nighttime. I'm like, whoa.
34th floor, so, he would put Crisco Earl on the bar and on the fucking balcony, ladies and gentlemen. He used to put parachutes on the coke. He used to tie a string around his wrist connected to the door handle so the string would be 40 feet. So if you turn the doorknob, you would hear. He would get the pressure on the string. That's the paranoia of cocaine, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Coke, how about when he fucking almost took somebody's eye out with an ice pick that was looking through the fucking peephole?
That's right.
That was a friend of his.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Ice pick? Remember that? We called him Dirty Curdy. Dirty Curdy. He was so metro, even back in the day, Metro Kurt, but he's the same guy to go in his fucking laundry basket and pull out a shirt he wore 3 weeks earlier. And it still looked good on him. That was the ironic thing. But talk about a fucked up dude.
I got high with him. I loved his family, but he had the brother Chris that I seen about 7 years ago. I stayed at his house. And with Chris, whenever you stayed at his house on a Friday and Saturday, you had to lock the doors. Because he would wake you up in the middle of the night. He'd be so fucked up, he'd wake you up to talk to you. And he'd talk to you about the presidents and about the Kennedy assassination. And one night he woke his father up. That's how fucking coked up he was. He woke his parents up, sat in the room, and started talking to him about the Kennedy assassination. And the father's like, get the fuck out of the room with that white lightning, you cocksucker.
Oh, you know what? You're right. He used to get kind of, when he got fucked up, he became smart.
Yes.
Thought he was, anyway. He'd start dropping knowledge on you, like, and it'd be like 3 o'clock in the morning, and they get, you know, even Kurt, remember that look they used to give you, like staring into space? That, I tell you, a fucked up time. I'm at Kurt's place on Park Avenue. Darren Rego is still alive. He's in the late 80s. Kurt got a nice little corner unit, very nice place.
I knew exactly where it was.
Was that what the day the bat was in it? At fucking like 5 o'clock in the morning, we realized there's a bat in the house. And Gina's sleeping on a couch. Gina Giacone is sleeping on a couch, and I just see Kurt pointing, and I'm like looking at him because he got weird. You know how he did that little point, Kurt?
Right? Yeah.
And
he
I'm like,
weird.
And there was a fucking bat in the house. So for about 3 hours, we didn't know what to do with this bat.
3 hours.
So it was. I remember it came after us. It looked like Grandpa from the Monsters, just changing. But some fucked up shit happens when you're on coke. That's why I don't do that no more.
No, thank fucking God. Anyway. No. Anyway, the last time I seen his brother, though, I stayed at the house. The older one, Chris. This is a true story. And I hear somebody banging on my door at like 5. And it's the mother, the sweetest lady in the world. She goes, Coco, you got to help me. Chris is outside naked with a flashlight. He's looking for a leprechaun. So I run outside. I grab this motherfucker. I got to carry him in. He's like, stop it. Stop it. I saw the leprechaun. So I sit him down, right? And he's fucked up. And he looks at me, he's like, you know, you suck dick. I almost had the leprechaun. And he was completely naked.
Oh, and they believed it, too.
They believed it, too.
And honestly, you got to know the family to fucking understand what Joe's saying. It's fucking so the weirdos. Funny. And Babs, that was her name, Babs. She was a drunk. No wonder she drank to deal with that crazy shit that the both brothers, and Emil, too.
Emil died, who I loved, the heroin guy.
He was,
Babs died. You know Babs died. She died last year.
Babs, so Kurt's mom died?
Yeah, so it's just Kurt and Flora, who's fucking crazy. The father's crazy, and I don't talk to Chris no more. I love him dearly, but I had to stop talking to him. But he was putting fucking glasses.
That's sad to me. She was.
Oh, she was the glue of the family, man. I still think about it every day.
Yeah,
Mrs. DiLorenzo took care of me.
I was just thinking about her.
Yeah,
I was just thinking because I drove by that area not too long ago. I thought this is what Kurt's mother and father kind of left after North Bergen. But yeah, that's sad to say. I got to give Kurtie a call.
No,
I haven't seen Kurt since 05. Listen, I was down in Miami Beach in Sunny Isles. Had a beautiful place overlooking the fucking the water, intracoastal, etc. He used to come there every day, Coco, with a briefcase, a computer that never fucking worked, and a six-pack. He pulled shit. My baby's like 5 months old. Then I'm on fucking probation, too, you know, for the fucking gambling tinge. So the thing is, he'd come in. I get the guy at the door say, hey, your friend Kurt's here. Should I let him in? I greased the door guys like $50 a day just to let Kurt in and out because it was embarrassing. But he'd come up there with, he had no nails on his hands. His toenails were off. But anyway, needless to say,
his toenails were off. So what's the lock of the day? Give it to me so these motherfuckers can make some money. And what's the webpage they got to go to, brother?
You know, there's a couple of them. I promote a lot of different shit. I got this NBA referee, Tim Donaghy. That's going to be interesting. Real quick, you can catch me out right now at DannyBWins.com. Danny B as in boy, wins.com. But Tim Donaghy, the former ref, you know his story, Coco.
We're
going to go to his first NBA game since the scandal. The betting scandal, you know, mob involved, fixing games, etc. November 9th at the Garden, Dallas plays the Knicks. Too bad Stoudemire's hurt, Nowinski's hurt. So besides that, it should be interesting to watch the camera, you know, follow this guy into his first game since the scandal. It's like the Pete Rose of, you know, of basketball now. But DannyBWins.com. But tomorrow night, man, honestly, you guys that are listening, all you have to do is say, I heard you on the Joey Coco Diaz podcast, my boy. I'll hook you up, man. San Francisco, Arizona, side and total. I really like it. Today, light play. I went light on the Jets. I wouldn't go crazy. I don't like the action much today, Coco.
I don't like it either too much. That's why I just keep it the over on Philadelphia and Atlanta. Nice and light, just some entertainment in the afternoon. I smoke a few numbers. I go to the YMCA, and I'm back to normal. You follow me?
Do you do the karate still? You'd still do that little thing with the karate? I'd love that thing.
No, I don't do Joey Karate's no more. But on Danny B Wins, I will start doing MMA picks on Wednesdays before big fights. So let your people know that I got some nice inside info. I know a couple managers. I know some of the training camps, so I get some good stuff sometimes. I don't bet on the main card.
You got a second? I did some networking for us out on a boat Thursday night in the Hudson. Ron Tudor, the fucking gazillionaire. Met some interesting people. When you come into town, we got to talk. But, yeah, I had a great week, man. Again, yesterday did okay. Today, not crazy. A little something-something on the Jets. Tomorrow night, love it, marry it, etc. But, Joe, man, you got to come see the family. I got to see your family. We got to get together soon, kid.
I love you, brother. Thanks for calling in the show, and I'll call your show Wednesday, brother.
You'll do that, man. Last time you had an interview, you kept me hanging. I kept talking you up.
No, Wednesday I had an audition. Sometimes on Wednesdays I'm fucked up, especially at 10:30. So we'll talk Tuesday night after 7. I'll know my schedule for Wednesday. I love you, cocksucker.
Thank you, my friend.
I love
it
all my heart. You too. Thank you for the lock, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So go to DannyBWins.com. Get your pick. He's a good guy. You know, we're starting to get some action now. We're going to have I was talking to Omnit Labs.
On it.
I tell you what, man, that fucking protein powder is delicious.
Oh, you like it?
Yeah, the Kemp, the Kush,
Hemp.
Hemp Kush. What the fuck? The hemp protein powder, the chocolate is delicious. It is some of the best chocolate. And I got two other proteins in there and a vanilla, but I really like the chocolate. But we'll get in depth and more talk about that this week. What else is going on, Leland? I got a movie for these motherfuckers, okay? I got a friend. His name is Rick Ramos. He's a comic. He did Payaso Slam with me. He talks about this movie like a religion. It's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. It's one of the most character-driven movies I've ever seen. It's a movie by the name of Midnight Run, 1987. For some reason, in those couple of years, some good genre movies came out. This morning I woke up at 6, and guess what I was watching laughing my ass off? The movie with Nathan Lane and the Birdcage. It's a, you never seen the Birdcage?
No.
No, this is what I'm talking. This is the youth of America. And they want to sit there and tell you how good fucking Avatar is. And,
I never said
and the fucking
Avatar.
Honeymoon movie, what is it, with Zach Galifianakis.
The
tell you, those movies won't even be around in fucking 3 years. You know, I went to see Seven Psychopaths last week. Let me tell you something, guys. It was an okay movie. Ask me a scene from that movie right now, and I could not tell you. You know, I sit here every fucking week. I go on the Rogan podcast, and I put down the movies from today, and I get this hate mail, and I'll tell you why. Because 10 years from now, you'll never be talking about them. They have not a sense of substance in them. I went to see Argo. That was tremendous.
Yeah.
Fucking, what's his name, is becoming a hell of a director. You know, The Town and that. I went to see Seven Set. I hate comedies anymore because they're so fucking overrated. Listen, when you see a comedy gets 5 stars, that means you got 4 fucking laughs coming. The rest of the movie, you're just going to fucking look at it. And I ain't lying to you people. And you people sitting at home going, Joey, you're a fucking hater, whatever. I'm not a hater because I'm going to follow up with movies. Like I always tell you, Train, Planes, and Automobiles, comedy movies. We were talking about Ghostbusters. Fucking Midnight Run with Robert De Niro. It never ends. Dennis Farina. This movie never ends. A bunch of character guys. I love the movie. In fact, the guy that plays the cop in Pope of Greenwich Village plays the guy in the bookie office. The guy from Hoboken, New Jersey, on The Soprano, Joe Pantoliano's in this movie. I mean, it's a great movie. But one of my idols, believe it or not, if you came to me today and said, what mobster would you want to fucking play? Would you want to play Michael Corleone or one of the guys in Goodfellas? I liked all those movies, but my favorite mobster of all time is definitely Dennis Farina in Midnight Run. But he's also a great mobster in Snatch. He's been a mobster in Romeo's Bleeding. He's been a mobster in great fucking movies, don't get me wrong. But I think, and this one is his best one. The funny thing is, this is 87. This is after Crime Story, which is another TV show. You ever know about Crime Story? No. Dice was on there.
Oh, really?
He was fucking tremendous. The guy from Major Crimes is on there at the times. Play this segment. It's called The Best of Jimmy Serrano. They made a fucking thing about the best lines from this movie. Midnight Run, 1987, De Niro.
And before I play it, you told me he was a Chicago cop.
He was a Chicago cop.
Before he did this movie.
And he did Manhunter. He was friends with Michael Mann.
Uh-huh.
So Michael Mann made him the cop in Manhunter. He also put him in The Thief, all his early movies in Chicago. Play it.
All right.
Is this moron number one? Put moron number two on the phone.
Yeah, Jimmy, he's right here. Hold on. He's pissed. Yeah.
I thought you told me this guy was going to be on the plane.
That's the information we got, Jimmy.
That's the information we got. I'm going to tell you something. I want this guy taken out, and I want him taken out fast. You and that other dummy better start getting more personally involved in your work, or I'm going to stab you through the heart with a fucking pencil. Do you understand me?
You got it, Jimmy.
What are you hanging around for? Take a walk.
I heard somebody picked up my Dukas in New York.
It's old news, Sidney. I'm already on it.
I don't have to tell you what'll happen if he becomes a government witness.
I can assure you that will not be the case.
Yeah, I assumed you were taking that position, but I'm supposed to advise you against such acts.
Sidney, relax. Have a cream soda. Everything is going to be all over with in a few minutes.
Oh, cream soda.
Sorry, Jim. It didn't happen.
It didn't happen? Say that again, Tony.
It just didn't happen. I mean, there was cops all over the place. There was a million fucking feds all over. Jimmy, it was a mess.
Better get off the line, Jimmy.
Sidney?
If they've got a tap on that line there...
Sidney, shut your fucking mouth! Now listen to me, dummy. Do they have Mardukas in custody or not?
I don't... Jimmy, I don't know. I mean, the cops are swarming all over the place.
We couldn't see anything.
Let me tell you two stupid motherfuckers something. I don't want to get another phone call like this, because if I do, I'm going to get on a fucking plane, and I'm going to blowtorch the both of you. Do you understand?
Blowtorch the both of you.
I'm on the phone. Jimmy, what are you doing?
Should have killed Walsh in Chicago a long time ago.
Walsh is
Don't say a word to me, Sidney. Don't say a fucking word to me. I'll get up and I'll bury this telephone in your head.
These are all his
lines, guys.
I don't
understand the problem with you two. The guy's a fucking accountant.
Jimmy, it's been bad luck right down the line. Plus, this guy Walsh is pretty good.
If he's that good, Tony, maybe I should hire him to hit you.
I hope there's no chance of any of this coming back to Jimmy.
No chance. He rented the chopper out of Kansas City.
He's 5 times removed from you, so you're clear of this. Don't worry.
Hey, Jimmy!
You fucking moron. The guy's still out there, ain't he? Let me tell you two guys something. I'm not interested in seeing either one of you two alive again until you get the accountant. You got the message?
All right. This is it. Tonight is the fucking night. You understand? I'm sick of all of these screw-ups. As soon as I get the discs from Walsh, you guys drop Walsh and you drop the Duke. Do you understand? I get the discs, you drop them, okay?
I don't think you should do this.
Oh, really? What do you propose that I do? Send somebody with a cash offer, but don't do this.
I know Walsh. He won't take any money from me. He's a very self-righteous type of guy. It aggravates me. In his mind, this is clean. He gets what he wants, I get what I want. The guy's a fucking burnout, Sidney.
Hey, Jimmy,
Sidney, sit down, relax, have a sandwich, drink a glass of milk, do some fucking thing.
This is all like six scenes. He always tortures Sidney.
So I'm finally in the presence of greatness, huh? The Duke. The guy that steals money from the scum of the earth and gives it to the
I forget who the Duke is played by, but listen
to I wanted to meet you face to face. Did you actually think that you were going to steal my money and get away with it? I stopped by here to tell you two things. Number one is that you're going to die tonight. Number two, I'm going to go home, have a nice hot meal. I'm going to find your wife, and I'm going to kill her too.
Tremendous.
You know,
listen,
I was thinking maybe
don't
if
waste
we
your fucking times with these new fucking movies. The movies that I'm giving you guys are fucking classics. I might not be a genius and my fucking podcast ain't about movies and I'm jumping up and down here, but when I give you motherfuckers a movie, you're gonna hit me back and go, Joey, goddamn, I'm not gonna give you motherfuckers much. In about 2 weeks, on November 18th, one of those, I'm going to cover The Godfather and a whole fucking podcast with Lee.
Oh, shit.
Because I'm sure we're going to do The Baptism. We're going to do two. I'm not sure about three yet. But I give you good movies, folks. This Midnight Run, this was a tremendous movie. See who played the guy. I mean, this is a... They were going to... Listen about this movie. They were going to make this movie with... Because at that time... What's the fucking guy? Mork.
Robin Williams.
They wanted Robin Williams for this movie.
For what?
For this movie. They did not want De Niro, and they did not want... It was supposed to be De Niro and Robin Williams.
That's weird.
De Niro picked this guy with the fucking wig. This guy that was the advocate in the O.J. Simpson trial. He does all those movies with the dog.
Uh-huh.
I forget what his name is. He's... If you get a chance, watch Midnight Run. 1987, one of De Niro's best, because he had to be comic. You know, if you know anything about De Niro don't fucking say much. I mean, he's a great actor, but what makes him a great actor is that he's got the personality of a fucking dog. I mean, and I'm just quoting here. You know, when they had Rickles on Larry King Live, he said De Niro, talking to De Niro is like one hand clapping. So whenever you see De Niro, what's the guy's name, you know?
Whenever you see
De Niro doing something in a movie, think of a guy that doesn't say nothing. It's like Chris Rock. Chris Rock, if you're sitting around Chris Rock, you don't say fucking two words. Then you see him on stage and he's a fucking savage. You know, it's like kinetic energy. It's just a potential energy. It's just fucking sitting there. But
do you know if the Duke had a different name in the movie? Because it's not coming up on IMDb.
No, don't worry about it. It's all right. They'll figure it out. But it's going to take you 19 fucking years.
I haven't seen the movie.
This is what I'm talking about, Lee. This is what I'm talking about. If half of you guys are like Lee, I need for you to see these movies. You're going to really enjoy them. You know, I try to give you guys heat. I try to give you guys books. I'm going to try this on writing. This is a recommendation from Tony Hinchcliffe. Like I said, Tony Hinchcliffe's a young kid that's a comic. He hangs around with Brian up at the Ice House, and I got much respect for him. He's written on The Roasts, and he's also was a writer on The Burn. He's good friends with McGuire and Jeff Ross, and I like him. And like I said, if you're looking for a good book to read, this fucking American Desperado. If you want to read about people getting, you know, falling in love or whatever, get 50 Shades of Grey and go fuck your wife up the ass. But if you want to take your mind away and have a little fun or whatever, this is the way to go. I want to give, you know, I love Twitter. You know, I was dead as a comic, and you guys on Twitter have put a fucking spark under my ass. I love you guys. It's like a Twitter family we got. And I want to give some shout-outs to my man Pittsburgh Jay over there. Fuck Pittsburgh Jay Bechero in Pittsburgh. I love this motherfucker. I want to give a shout-out to DeHaven Clark. I want to give a shout-out to my little Mexican Luis Martinez and my man Whiskey Bendejo Way. Carla from Space, I love you to death. And I want to give Cuban Ann with that hot little pussy a shout-out. You know, dog, did you tell that chick to send you a picture of pussy yet? What the fuck are you fucking around for? For example, go to Cuban Ann on Twitter right now. I've told you this 1,000 times.
Okay? You're a big fan of Cuban Ann.
Cuban Ann, I'll tell you why I'm a fan of Cuban Ann. Because she's what a woman should do. Every woman in this country, Charles Grodin, thank you. Every woman in this fucking country, she hasn't tweeted since the 7th. But that don't mean nothing. Maybe she's in jail. Look at this. There's a picture right on her fucking thing, Cuban Ann, of her little fucking pussy, okay? Look at it. Did you see it?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Right there. And look, one night we were just talking. She's Cuban, and she said, look what it says in the bottom. Haha, no, I'll show you mine. Not as sexy, but it's real. Para ti, coño. That means it's for you, cocksucker, in Spanish. Look at that little monkey right there. She's a lesbian. She's a lesbian. She doesn't even like dick. But I asked her. She's solid as the rock of Gibraltar. And she's got to do what you got to do, because that's what you do. You show the fucking guy your monkey when he asks you. You want to hold on to it like it's a national treasure. So ask her, because it cuts right through the bullshit. Don't be ashamed. You're just doing your job as a man. You're talking to a woman online. What is there? A fucking computer. You got, after a while, you talk to me, I talk to you. Look at me. You would you take a picture of your little helmet and send it to her?
Sure, why not?
Would you brush it nice and polish that little helmet, send a little picture of your cacuzza? What do you think? You got, no, stop giggling, you fuck. I'm trying to fucking take end of my wings so you can sling some dick.
Let's do it, yeah.
And sure, I don't want you slinging big dick. You're not going to become a manhole, because look at it. I ain't no fucking... listen, man, like I said, I hated sex. For me, it's a joke. It's a fucking joke. That's why I talk about it on stage. It's not that I'm so shallow with, oh, Joey. Fuck that shit. I hate it. I fucking hate it. If I had to do it, I don't even know how my wife ended up pregnant. Because if I fuck 3-4 times a year. But what happened was, after the fucking knee surgery, I was lifting on my legs with testosterone. I got horned up. And she's my wife. I might as well fuck her. That's what my wife is for. You know, in my mind, you fuck when you're going to have a kid. That's it. Like, we were talking about it yesterday, like, just me, how I am. And she goes, who do you find attractive? We're talking about my friend, the Asian girl that we hang out with.
Uh-huh.
She's beautiful. I love her to death, but I don't look at her like that, because she's got 4 kids. Every time I look at the kids, I'm like, oh. You know what I'm saying? I look at a woman like that. Felicia's beautiful. I don't even look at her like that because of the kids. Once a woman had kids for me, it's kind of weird. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll let one suck my dick. That's the best blowjob. A single mom? Shit. A single mom will take your dick to the hoop, Jack. She's been sitting home all week, selling down the kids, lying to the kid about his father. He's a hero. He's out banging bitches. A single mom will take that helmet. You know, I was looking at Tom Likas one time, and he's on there yelling at people, single moms, stay away from... A single mom will work you, Jack. Fucking, and single moms are great, bro. I was raised by a single mom in a way. I love it. My mom had one boyfriend the whole time she was alive around me. You know, she had my stepfather, her husband.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird, you know. I couldn't imagine. I could never disrespect like a fucking, like, if I'm 12 and some guy hit on my mom, I'd knock him the fuck out. I'd go for that motherfucker. I don't want that shit around me, you know, so I understand. So that's why I respect moms when I see them, Felicia, all these ladies. You got it. You can't fuck everybody. But there's women that are out there that they want to be victims, and that's what you got to do. You got to say to them, listen, let me take you home and put a firecracker in your asshole. And they'll just look at you like, really? You got firecrackers? Fuck yeah, I got firecrackers. I tell Ralphie, man, that story about that girl that wanted to borrow money from me.
Yeah.
Yep. And I told him, man, listen, I'll lend you the money, but you got to lick my nuts. She's like, no, I can't do that. I go, listen, $1,500 is a lot of money. How are you going to pay me back? I don't know. She goes, well, I'll shoot this movie and I'll pay you back. Forget about that. Give me a piece of ass. And she's like, all right, I'll call you back in a little while. So I run downstairs and I get in the car with Ralphie, and we're talking about something. The phone rings. It's the girl. She's like, okay, I'm ready. And she goes, do you have the money? I go, yeah, meet me at the Four Seasons and whatever. I had $10 in the fucking bank. And I'm like, listen, don't forget, when I go down, I'm going to light your asshole on fire. And she, you can hear her going, I'm going to have to call you back. She called me back like 10 minutes later. Forget it. I borrowed the money from my uncle. Like, you're fucking lucky, you dirty animal.
Light that asshole on fire.
Nah, you got to have a good time, Lee. I just want you to be happy, Lee. That's it. At the end of the week, we goof around here. I don't want you people to think I'm a fucking dirty freak. I'm just trying to help the kid out. You know, he's a nice kid. He's a sweet kid to me. He's a good catch, this guy. He's loyal. He works hard. I mean, fucking Lee just worked 20 hours in 2 days on Friday and Saturday before fucking Halloween. How many of you motherfuckers work Friday and Saturday 20 hours before Halloween? I got a lot of respect for Lee. I break his balls, but he knows I care about him. We've done great things in a year. And now I want him for Christmas. I'm gonna tie him up and get 3 chicks to fart in his fucking eyeballs. You understand me? Because he's never had nobody fart in his fucking eyeballs. You know, that's it. Lee's just a, hey, listen, man. I love having fun with all you guys. When I look at Lee, I think of all of you guys are listening to the podcast, and hopefully you're getting something out of this. I really care about you guys. Uncle Joey loves you motherfuckers to death. You give me a lot of hope in my day. And that's all I do by trying to do this podcast. We got a great fucking podcast coming up tomorrow. Another one on Wednesday. We're taking next Sunday off. Let me see if we covered everything. We talked to Danny Bianculo. We played Shine On You Crazy Diamond, which a lot of Pink Floyd songs are written about Syd Barrett. A lot of people don't fucking know that. Syd Barrett was the one of the founding members of that type of music. And he took too much acid. He went off the fucking deep end. You follow me? So Dave Gilmore replaced him. And all those little songs that they've done, I'm too high to think of all of them right now, are all pretty much dedications to him. What are we going to close with, bro?
I got a surprise for you.
Okay, but I'm not closing yet, but that's why I play a lot of Pink Floyd in those songs. Shine On You Crazy Diamond, it's a tribute to you motherfuckers on a Sunday. I love you guys. The love you give me online, on Facebook and Twitter. Oh, Testicle Testament's still up there, number 3. Fuck that shit. We're knocking that motherfucker down to number 1 because that's how you motherfuckers do it. Also, this week I'm in Ontario at the Improv. Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Ontario, California. Get tickets because those tickets are going to go. And next Wednesday, November 8th, next Thursday, those tickets. There's probably 40 tickets left for myself and Ari Shafir at the Chicago House of Blues. Chicago, you know I love you. Stop fucking around. Let's get this party started. I want reefer down there. I want bazookas. I want chicks with fucking crabs down there. If you got crabs and you're a girl, don't go to the pharmacist. Come on down and spread them that night. I don't give a fuck. You don't know what life is till you get a crab in your eyebrow and shit. You're at the pharmacist and the motherfucker's jumping around. What else do I got? I'm at Arizona in Scottsdale on the 16th and 17th. Lee, where you at this week, cocksucker?
I'm at home, and then who knows? Maybe I might show up one night at the Ontario.
Beautiful. Thursday is All Saints Day and All Souls Day, right? Correct? On Monday, sure, and something like that. Light a candle for your grandfather, anybody who you miss. And that's basically it, guys. I'm going to be home December and January, all home, so I'm going to be doing some solid podcasts. Lee's taking a week off, right?
Yeah, Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, but we'll record a couple before I go. We'll record a couple,
and then I'm going to shoot a special in L.A. somewhere, I'm hoping on January 25th, somewhere that's not like a theater or something. I'm thinking about my uncle's bar. I'm going to only have about 100, 150 people there. I don't know if I'm going to have it charged up or whatever, but we'll talk about that. But I'm going to be in training, so if anybody wants to get together and write. Mitch Nutter, I love the new podcast, Hiding From My Wife. I want to give him a shout-out. You know, we get a lot of support on this podcast. You know, Lee, we're very lucky. We got a lot of friends and a lot of people listening to this. So we want to thank you. We want you to have a great week and have a great Sunday. Don't forget, Lee, Danny gave out the Jets -1. I'm giving you the under on the Atlanta Philadelphia Eagle. Anything else we need to cover here? We gave you Jimmy Serrano. We'll have music. We'll have more movies. We'll talk about fucking life all this week. Like I said, credibility is the biggest thing in your fucking life. And sometimes I know you guys get upset with me, like, Joey, this get. Hey, fuck you motherfuckers. I'm trying to give you a piece of my heart where I came from. I don't want you to think there's a made up character, a Mad Flav is a figment of your imagination. And I don't ever want you to think the Flying Jew is a figment of your imagination. He's a bad motherfucker. Give him all the love and respect. The Hanukkah line will be coming out soon. The Hanukkah line will be coming out soon. The first one, the first yarmulke we're going to have is white. It's going to say, fuck you, pay me, for all you dead hard fucking Jews out there that I love representing the Flying Jew. We're going to make a special Flying Jew yarmulke for this fucking sick fuck. We're going to put a one stay black. Everybody's going to be wearing a yarmulke in 2013, and we're doing that out of respect. I love you guys. Hit me with some music, Lee, cocksucker.
All right.
Better be something funky. I'm going to stab you in the neck. What is this, Lee?
It's supposed to be. Are you ready for some football?
Lee, am I ready for football? Do you think that's what I want to hear, Lee? Put some Biggie on Hypnotize.
What do you want to hear? You're killing
me. Biggie, Hypnotize. Something funky. Don't ever close with that football shit here.
It's a betting one.
Fuck, betting one. You're betting on some guy singing, are you ready for some football?
Yeah, why not?
I can't leave these guys like this. You're killing me, Lee. Salt in my eyes. No more surprises.
No more surprises. I'll stab you in the neck.
You're slipping the last 2 weeks of the closing songs.
What do you got? I had it right ready last time.
Come on, let's go.
Here you go. Here it is. Bye, guys.
Oh. Oh, what? Do it, Lee. Shake it, Lee. Here's to my hooligans in Brooklyn. What? Have a great day with your family, guys. Go out there, sling dick. Don't let them lie to you. You know who the baddest motherfucker is out there. Do it. The Flying Jew, baby. What? Short like saucy hand hunch. What? Oh shit. At last, a nigga rapping about blunts and bras, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars. What?
Sometimes your words just hypnotize me, and I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken. You're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you?
you see. Sometimes your words.